LOL, I forgot to record this to start. So sorry if you're listening to this to the pre-recorded version. But I was just saying happy International Women's Day today because it is the 8th. And it is International Women's, or I mean it's National Women's Month for the States, the UK, and Australia. Mid-conversation, we were just talking about some of the hardships in female friendships. And as I was saying, when it does come to being like a low maintenance friend, which is, you know, the friend that you don't really need to check on all the time, the friend that you can kind of text once a week, hang out with once a month, like it doesn't really matter how often you see them. I do have I pray to God again, she's a lifetime best friend, Isabella Brenton, shout out to her, that I met in 9th grade. And we've reached a point now where our relationship where we don't need to text every day or see each other every single week to know that we are going to, like, we're best friends and stuff like that. So I'm saying if, especially as women, and the reason I mention this in the sense of women is because I usually do see women on social media mention being a low-maintenance friend. So if you do feel like you are a low-maintenance person and you aren't up for being that, well, let's hang out every day, let's text every day or whatever, let's, you know, analyze and, you know, adjust. Because, well, yes, I do believe I'm a low-maintenance friend. I do have some more high-maintenance friends or had some high maintenance female friends that I was willing to go above and beyond for and change my routine of not being on my phone every day, not texting every day, to text them every day, call, FaceTime, whatever, to let them know that, hey, I, even though I am a low maintenance person, I can still, you know, change my ways to, you know, fit for you. So I just, that was one of the little aspects of hardships of a friendship, because with females, for me, it's like, I strive for female relationships. I thrive with males. I do have a lot of like male friends, but for females, for me it's just like I feel like I just, because I have my mom, I'm like, my mom's my girl best friend. Like I can text her with anything. I tell her everything. So I'm like, I just don't feel like I can ever replace that bond. And I also do feel like a lot of the times women are sometimes judgmental. I say this loosely because I too indulge in a little judging, okay? And it's something I'm working on because who am I? I'm not God. I can't be judging. And I do know, you know, it's hard. It's hard to not judge, and it's hard, you know, to, you know, everyone wants to give their opinion. But I do find that when you are in relationships when it's like all females, like especially if it's like a female trio or a female group, like where it's more than one, it does start to get a little bit of like a social hierarchy. And it does suck, but, and I'm not saying this is always the case. I'm literally not saying this is always the case, but I do feel like with males, well, yes, they do have that same social hierarchy part. Most of the time, most of the men don't mind really being like docile for their male counterparts. I feel like most times men know like, okay, I'm not an alpha, so I can't be doing that. But I feel like with women, it's like, okay, but I also can do that. Or I also know I'm capable of getting the skills or acquiring the skills to do the same thing you're doing. So don't. I don't know. Or maybe that's just my mindset and the girls that I hang out with or used to hang out with. But side note, though, I was talking to my girl, one of my girls, and I was saying, I don't feel like I gossip. Like, I feel like and I don't feel like a lot of women gossip, period. I feel like women are doing character analyses, like, or like debriefs. If we're doing character debriefs, we're including character analyses. We're not just sitting there, you know, running our mouth about, oh, they're garbage, they're this, they're this. Like, at least for me, and a lot of other women that especially I talk to, I feel like a lot of the times it's like, we're discussing their character. Like, okay, well, why would someone do something like that? Like, how could someone do something like that? Like, what drove them to do something like that? And obviously sometimes it stems from like insecurity, if it's like, you know, whatever, but I don't know, sometimes I just don't feel like I'm always gossiping. I'm doing character analysis. Okay. Another one is mother-daughter relationships. I do feel like those are specifically harder when, like, I guess I'll use my mom and I's relationship as an example. I do feel like having like a mother-daughter relationship, especially if your mom is also having a harder relationship with her mom, does make it tough to kind of build on like a good relationship. And I mean, I feel like maybe that's why for a little bit I, like, the issues I had with my mom growing up, that caused me to not be able to like sustain long-term female friendships, because I'm like, all you girls can do me dirty. But yeah, I feel like mother-daughter relationships are beautiful. They're a beautiful, beautiful thing. They are some of the most, like, the things you learn from your mom, the traditions that are passed down, the lessons you learn, the bond you build, and then the bond you're able to build after that. It's just, it's beautiful. A mother's love, nothing beats a mother's love, and a mother's bond, and especially with another woman, because it's easy to relate. And then also having your mom for, like, big moments in your life, it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. But then there's also hardships when, if you do have issues with your mom, it does make it a lot harder for you to have those same relationships, build those same bonds with other people, because it's like the person whose love I was striving for originally, because all babies do strive for their mother's love, have an issue later on in life with other relationships because you didn't have that solid concrete bond with your mom growing up. It is tough, because I do have friends, and I, as myself, did have tough relationships, female relationships growing up with our moms. But then you also do end up reaching a point, like if anybody who's young is listening, you do, or even currently going through it, you will reach a point, hopefully, pray to God. But I feel like a lot of you who are going through a tougher time, maybe not tough, but like a tougher time, you will reach a point in your life where a lot of it will subside. Like a lot of the nitty gritties, a lot of the nagging, a lot of the whatever will subside. At some point, she's going to have to see you as an adult, if that's the case. Or at some point, she's going to have to let you do your own thing, if that's the case. Whatever the issue you're having with your mom right now, I pray for you. But also, I do have very, very strong hope for you that it will get better. Okay? Because it is a beautiful relationship. So just hold out that hope for a little longer, girl. You got this. Another one is sister relationships. I am an older sister. I have a younger sister. We're not super, super close, but I love her to pieces. And I don't, so technically I won't say I have a consistent sister, but she's my girl. I love her. I can't speak to a straight sister bond, but I do have friends that have sister bonds. And seeing a sister bond is honestly something. I can only attest to a brother bond, but witnessing a sister bond and like a sister relationship, it is something. You can go from styling each other's clothes, giving each other's outfits, giving relationship advice to whatever, to literally a WWE brawl, a WWE match in a matter of seconds. And listen, I don't know what men think about women can't fight or women are catty when they fight. No. Women get down, okay? I don't know what Twitter videos y'all see about women's fighting. It's probably fake. It's probably wrong. You need to come witness sisters fighting. They get dirty. They get down, they get dirty, and they don't play. And it's usually not even just hair pulling. Like, they will swing them. It's crazy. But then it's also like an older sister bond, a younger sister bond. It's always so beautiful to see, like, the knowledge that's passed down through, like, mom to sister, like, the mom tells the oldest sister all of these traditions and all of the whatever, and then the older sister explains it to the younger sister. It's so beautiful to witness it. It's like, in, obviously it's intergenerational, but like, it just like inter-familial, just like lineage being passed down. I don't know. I just think it's so beautiful. Like, and then like also later in life when you see them mirroring their sister, like even growing up, you see them mirroring their sister, and then later in life, you still see them trying to mirror their sister in certain things. I don't know. I just think it's beautiful. I don't really have anything too harsh to say about female or sister relationships relationships, because again, I can't attest to it. But from a viewer standpoint, I think it's honestly a beautiful thing. Honestly, any sibling relationship is a beautiful thing. They're literally like you, they know you, they're the person that knows you best. They're literally your built-in best friend. When you're born and you have a sibling, they're your DIY best friend. Like, you did it yourself, girl. And then you can also, like, if you're an older sibling, like, you could low-key shape them to be, like, your own personal person. That's a little tidbit. And then just relationships, like, romantic relationships from a female view. I feel like those are always so, so hard, like, because as women, you always go in hoping to get some decency out, especially from the men in this generation, and you're usually met with, well, we all know. But I do have a success story. My bestie went on a date. I help him, my best friend Nelson, I've been helping him set up little dates. with this girl he's been constantly seeing. And one of the things I suggested at the first date was that he bring her flowers. Because listen, I don't care what no man is saying. Bringing a girl flowers on the first date, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I would encourage it. One, if you're already went out of your way to ask her out, that means she's giving up her time. She could be out chasing a bag. She could be out doing her own thing. She could be out with her friends. She could be in with her family. She could be doing anything else, but you asked her to give up her time to come meet with you, a man she's never met. Why would you not want to make that moment as special as possible? Bring her flowers. Do the whole nine yard. And also, it's like women, I hate to say it about us, y'all, but some of us are so easily swooned. And sometimes it's a good thing. Sometimes it's a bad thing. There has its pros and cons. I'm not going to debate about that, but it has its pros and cons. But I feel like as women, we can kind of... Guys, I forgot the topic again. Hold on. Yes, I've been telling women. I've been telling men. I've been encouraging men. First date, bring the flowers. It's the best thing you could possibly do to make a woman who's given up her time again to feel special and feel valued and feel like that her time, she didn't feel like it's wasted. Because, well, yes, you could obviously, the whole date will be beautiful, but I feel like, for me, maybe it's just because I'm like my love language is gifts. I feel like tangible things sometimes. I also do know most girls will keep souvenirs, so I feel like a tangible gift does hold some value. Anyways, but yes, success story. Nelson did get her flowers for the second date, and from his words, she was blushing. She felt flustered. So, men, if you're listening, women, if you're also, you will be listening, I encourage you, please go get or encourage the person you're seeing to get you some flowers, especially if it's like early on and like the little, we're just seeing each other, like we're still dating, or like, oh, he's asked me out on a date. Get some flowers. Get some flowers out of that. Or even if it's not flowers, get some tangible, cute, small gift. It's cute. But yeah, I feel like from sometimes women's come in with these like expectations, obviously, from things that we hear from our sisters, our girlfriends, our moms, people on the internet. And then when we're met with these abhorrent men, it's treacherous. It's hard. You have to laugh about it. You got to cry about it. You got to post it on a private story, post it on the TikTok spam, because it's just so, so, so sad the way these men dog us every single time. And honestly, I can't even speak to the hardship of relationships from a female point of view. And I say anything negative because we are always doing the absolute most. And maybe that's the only negative thing. Women, stop doing the absolute most in these relationships. That's our hardship. That is our hardship. We have a absolute problem with, maybe not all of us, but a lot of you have an absolute problem with putting in the absolute most for some of these men in the early stages. I'm not going to dive too much into that. There are plenty of videos on YouTube, plenty of videos on TikTok, plenty of video on any social media platform that will show you and encourage you on how you can change and stop giving too much for these men early on in the talking stages and in the dating stages. That was it for our Women's Day / Women's Month segment. I will give y'all a little bit of tunes so I can go recollect my thoughts and, again, go drink some more water because my throat is absolutely dry. So yes, enjoy a little bit of Pink and White by Frank Ocean. Hello, welcome back. I hope you enjoyed Pink and White by Frank Ocean on his Blonde album. I hope he makes a return soon. I haven't heard too much about him. If you do know anything about him, definitely let me know, or I'll probably keep up to date on it on the media, but I haven't really been checking too much up to date on him, but I hope he's doing well. Especially after everything with his brother. But our next segment is Shiba Inu, which is a cryptocurrency. Now, is it for real cryptocurrency? I don't think so. And a lot of people don't think so. And I'll tell you why. It is actually a meme cryptocurrency. A Shiba Inu token is a decentralized cryptocurrency. It was created by an anonymous person in 2020. It was inspired by the Shiba Inu Japanese dog breed, which also serves as the mascot for Dogecoin, another cryptocurrency with, again, meme origins. What is a Shiba token? Well, there's three of them, actually, which I was astounded for. Now, I'm going to preface this by saying I am not versed in any of this cryptocurrency, NFT, none of this. I'm not even in the slightest educated on any of this. I'm trying to keep up to date on it. I do want to invest in a little bit of crypto. But then also, isn't it like everybody saying, like, don't do it, don't digitalize everything? Like, why would I want to invest in digital money if everybody's saying for like digital media and like stuff, like, download your stuff, don't upload your stuff on the hard drive, like, da 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 da. Guys, I'm just like, y'all need to explain this in like extremely, extremely simple terms. Like, that's another thing I don't like. When people don't explain things in extremely simple terms, I know there's a way you can explain it in a way that everybody else can understand. Or like in a very basic term, or very basic way that everybody can understand. Like, I know there's a way you can explain it that so that like a 4-year-old could understand. Or like use like easy terms that like are pop culture terms or something that everybody can understand. Whatever. That just gets me a little bit upset. Anyways. There is 3 tokens in this Shiba Inu coin cryptocurrency. So the first one is a Shibu or a Shiba. A Shib? I'm sorry. It's a Shib. Shib. This is the foundational currency. It's used for transactions in the community. This is my like spark notes, y'all. The next one is Leash. It's a significantly smaller supply compared to the SHIB, and it serves varying purposes. One of them is governance token, and then another one is staking rewards and NFTs. The last one is BONE, which is the largest supply. It's larger supply than Leash, but smaller than SHIB. Its exact use may differ, but it also does serve as additional uses as well. Again, spark notes, y'all, because I do not understand it. If somebody understands it, you can go ahead and go nuts explaining it. Please tag me in a video if you make it. Trish Talk, Wooloo. So why are people, why is this a topic, Patricia? Why should people care? Why is this being talked about right now? Well, so Shiba Inu is, again, a meme currency. So the live price of Shiba Inu right now is 0.00003 per SHIB / USD, with a current market cap of 20.09 billion USD. Guys, do I know what this means? No. People are, I'm assuming, and this is what people, I guess, are in this forum, I've been speculating, we're talking about why as to why this is blowing up, is because it's dog related. I don't know, I guess dog memes are extremely popular within the crypto market. Again, this is another reason why I'm so lost as to why people are so willing to invest like hundreds of thousands of dollars into this crypto stuff. If people are willing to just blow up a random cryptocurrency because it's a dog, like, you're willing to stake your money like this when you could just for real invest in, like, physical stuff? Like, I don't know. So, Shiba Inu is taking significant steps towards becoming the first all-encompassing meme coin ecosystem. This puts on the list of best meme coins, but this ecosystem has not yet generated much demand. People are, again, mainly buying it for, like, speculation purposes and like because it's trending. Apparently this is created by a whale. It's saying here a group under the pseudonym Roshi, but other people on Reddit are talking about, should I trust Reddit, y'all? I kind of do, but people on Reddit and a lot of people on there are talking about how it's sorry, the mic just fell. <laughs> There we go. But yeah, I'm still super confused on the Sheba stuff. But I just wanted to talk about it because it account. So yeah, I just wanted to talk about it because. Like, people are for real investing. Well, again, in 2020, when you could first buy the shares or when the cryptocurrency first dropped. Oh, I'm sorry. The window is open. When the cryptocurrency first dropped, you could buy share, like, I think a million shares or whatever, like a huge amount of shares for like a dollar. And then I think last year or in 2022, in October, if you pulled out at the right time, you would have made at least $153,000 if you kept the shares, the dollar share that you bought in 2020 and just bought the dollar, didn't buy anything else, just let it compound and whatever, and then sold it in either October of 2022 or 2023, you would have been made well over $150,000. So, but people are, again, since it is worth... How much did I tell y'all? 0.000034 per SHIB USD. It's most likely never going to reach a dollar. And it's saying, for context, I will read you this article here from Can Shiba Inu Reach a Dollar in 2024? Its enormous supply is either a barrier stopping Shiba Inu from staging another historic run. There are more than 589.3 trillion tokens in circulation. At the current price of 0.0000107 per token, Shiba Inu has a market capitalization of 6.3 billion. Simple math suggests that if Shiba Inu rose to $1, its market cap would be 589.3 trillion. For context, that's more than the total wealth of every person on Earth, which stood at 454 trillion at the end of 2022. So people are saying it's probably not going to reach a dollar, seeing as how low it is and how much it would need to reach or to acquire a dollar. So I guess to combat this issue of it not reaching a dollar, the community of Shibu, I guess that's what I'm going to call them, Shibu, are trying to shrink the supply by burning tokens, which means to remove them from circulation forever. Again, guys, I'm not versed in this cryptocurrency stuff. I'm just reading the article to tell y'all because I wanted to talk about it for a second. And then what I wanted to say is going to be after this. I just want y'all to get the overview. Which is a means to remove it for circulation for forever. Shiba Inu investors can send tokens to a dead wallet or participate in other initiatives like streaming a certain music playlist or using Shiba Search Internet Engine. I don't know why. The community will have to burn 99.999998 of all tokens, I guess, in circulation to send Shiba Inu to $1 based on the current market cap. In other words, we're almost all the 589.3 trillion tokens must disappear from circulation, leaving just 6.3 billion remaining. The community's burned, they've burned already 34.2 billion tokens in 30 days. If that pace continues, over 410 billion will be removed from circulation in 2024. Oh wait, but then at that pace, it would take over 100, it would take over 1400 years to burn all of the necessary tokens. Meaning it would reach $1.3461. Yay! So for all of those people who are holding stocks in Shiba Inu, for it to reach a dollar, y'all would need, just hold it on until 3461. But like I said before, there are moments when you can pull out. So, should you invest $1,000 in Shiba Inu right now? Probably not. I really don't think you should. Should you invest $10? Yeah. $1? Yeah. You might as well buy it and see how well it does. Because again, like I said, even the littlest amount, I'm so sorry guys that this mic is making so much noise. Hold on. Even the like littlest amount of money could make a huge difference if you pull it out the right time and let that money compound over time. Again, people on the internet do stuff for shits and giggles all the time. And who's to say? Shiba's Inu is still kind of, I guess, on the low key. I don't think too many people know about it. Like, it is obviously trending, but I guess trending on certain parts of the internet. So I feel like if you're hearing this now or you're seeing it on TikTok or whatever, or you're speculating if I should even try, just throw in $5. Try it. Who's to say? Who's to say? And while you're at it, throw in another 10 in a legitimate cryptocurrency if you're at it, if you're feeling a little frisky too. So then at least you kind of feel like a balance, like, okay, even if I lose here, I at least gained a little bit here. But the reason I brought up Shiba Inu was because I'm like I mentioned, I don't understand why we're putting so much trust into these digital currencies. While I'm telling you guys, yes, try it, $5, try it, $10, whatever. I'm talking about the people that are putting hundreds of thousands of dollars into these cryptocurrencies and just trusting it. Look, these Shiba Inu people are burning some of the tokens, are planning on burning at least, if they keep up with this pace, 408, or I think, what was it, 401, or 410, 410 billion of these tokens by the end of 2024. So then that, they're, like, obviously it's going to take time before they kill all the circulation, or tokens in circulation. But do we want to trust, like, just this digital, like, currency? Like, yes, obviously you get your return back, yes, if you investing again $2,000, $3,000, even isn't even that much if you're up like that, but hundreds of thousands of dollars in cryptocurrency, babe, when you could invest it in some real estate, when you could invest it in a damn person, they would probably give you a better return. I don't know, I just think it's very, very interesting why people are so trusting on these cryptocurrencies. Like, it's a meme, and I get it. Like, even, like, the whole dog stuff. I'm just like, guys. Like, I was barely on board with the whole NFTs. And, again, that's another thing that I still don't understand. But I was barely on board with the whole NFTs. What are we doing? When people were buying those paintings, or those, like, digital paintings, and, like, trying, because I guess, like, if... Isn't it like come some things similar to what like millionaires and stuff do, but with like real paintings where they have it in like offshores or something? I don't know. Again, I'm not versed in this, but I just wanted to mention it to y'all if y'all were interested. Some people have had success stories. I was on Reddit earlier, and as of today, people actually have some success stories saying that they were able to make what? $1,000, $1,600, $16,000, what, $20,000 over the past, like, year being on Shiba Inu. So, it's not currently oversaturated, so if you're interested, just wanted to give it a little mention so y'all could know what's up. Now, we will be taking one more break because, again, my throat is absolutely parched. I really do think I might be getting a little bit of a cold again. I know there's something going around. My sinuses are feeling very inflamed in my throat. Is feeling like it literally is very dry. And I'm trying to get close to the mic so I don't have to talk as loud, but I still am a loud talker. I apologize for that. This is Flowers by Miley Cyrus for ya. I will be right back. My apologies, y'all. I did not know that the song was in French. I'm so sorry. But sorry, I just can't hear myself. Yeah, sorry. Okay, there we go. I can hear my talk back. I apologize. I did not know that the song was going to be in French, I believe. I was trying to reread my next segment notes. And this is I guess it's going to be the last one because I really do think my throat is getting a little bit too dry to a point where I have no more water in here. I also have work at 1 o'clock. Did you guys see that Katie Fang video where she starts crying because she got called into work? That's how I feel. That's how I feel. I'm so tired of working. Anyways, this place is my, this talk show is my debrief or my de-stressor. So inhale and exhale. Okay. Next segment. Ryan Garcia. Now, this isn't really like a chipper topic because there are a lot of tougher subjects that Ryan Garcia mentions about himself and stuff that happened in his life. So I won't be talking or diving into those because, again, it's not my business. Or, I mean, it's not my life story. And I do prayers for him. And I hope he gets through and overcomes all of the trauma that he's dealing with. But let's get into the story. So who's Ryan Garcia? If you don't know, Ryan Garcia is a MMA fighter or a professional fighter of some sort. I believe it is MMA. Well, he's a boxer, not a fighter, but he's a boxer. But I do think that is MMA. Oh, no. World Boxing Council. Title in 2021. Anyways, so yeah. Anyways, yes, that is who he is. He's a professional fighter, a boxer. So let me give you a run. I just needed y'all to know who he was in case you didn't know who he was. But now I'm going to give you a rundown of what actually happened over this past couple days. So Ryan Garcia's recent story is marked by personal and professional issues. It began with the announcement of his divorce from his wife, Andrea Celina, just an hour after them celebrating the birth of their second child. Despite the split, Garcia emphasized that they're committed to being co-parents. Again, this took place on January 7th. Later, Ryan Garcia arrived on February 29th. Ryan Garcia, this is what people are spectating is like the issue, the pre-issue, I guess, to the problem of what is happening. On February 29th, Ryan Garcia arrived late to a press conference for his fight with Haney and appeared confrontational to him, which I don't think is like super strange, but I guess in some of the videos he was overly confrontational, which should be said here. But it's not obviously odd to be confrontational at these press conferences because I'm going to beat your ass. Even attempting to fight, but he did, this is where he was overly confrontational because he attempted to fight somebody in the crowd, one of the audience members. He later posted an old sparring session between him and David, between Haney and David, another boxer, adding fuel to their existing beef, which kind of, whoop, whoop, that's a sound. Sorry, y'all. I need to keep the window open in here. Sorry, y'all. I need to keep the window open in here because it gets so loud. so hot. Sorry. It gets so hot, but it's so loud outside. Anyways. Despite focusing on Haney, Garcia also engaged in verbal arguments with Jake Paul. It's every day, bro. Calling him out on social media. Jake Paul responded, urging Garcia to calm down, chill out, and suggesting that he's obviously losing his mind. He's crazy. Ryan's behavior became increasingly erratic. He posted cryptic messages and videos. We will talk about that in a second. Leading to concern from his ex-wife and family in a video. In a video, he claimed to be unable to access his phone or money. However, his father dismissed it as trolling. I'm sorry about these keys. But yeah, the video is posted somewhere on YouTube and stuff, but I will play you a small clip of it just so you can kind of... just hear what he's, like, how he sounds. Because he does sound quite...
Over these past couple days, you guys have seen some pretty intense things. I understand what they are, and I don't understand what they look like. But I'm coming back to announce I'm not going to speak on any other topic other than boxing, sports, and my fight. That's the only thing I'm going to be talking about. And I'm training for this fight. I want everybody to know this fight's still on. 420, 5 weeks of super focus. I have PBD helping me in this camp and many other warriors. So I thank you guys for the support, and I'll see you guys on 420. Here to announce.
That was the video that he posted, and then his father commented saying that he was trolling. Or, I mean, no, sorry, that's not the video he posted, but this is the video of him. Sorry, guys, I got that out of order. That was the wrong video. That was the video I was supposed to show you at the end. My bad. But the other video that I was supposed to show you was him being a lot more crazy. Sorry. Anyways, someone's getting fired. Me. Sorry. I'm still getting new at this and trying to get organized. My thoughts are always everywhere when I'm, like, filming, like, when I'm writing all my stuff down. So it's kind of hard when I'm, like, reiterating it to y'all. Anyways, Garcia continued his erratic behavior, discussing disturbing incidences involving elites from Bohemian Grove. What is Bohemian Grove? So, what is Bohemian Grove? It is a summer camp for rich people in California. It's not a secret. It's never been a secret. This is what I'm reading from a Redditor, USS J-Bone. There's a whole conspiracy theory culture around it and how they sacrifice children. Okay. Alex Jones snuck in a while ago and filmed a bunch of dorks doing dorky things and pretended it confirmed all the dumb things he believes. Another Redditor said, it's a place in California, Redwood Forest. They have a retreat for the rich and the powerful. Richard Nixon's been there, the Bush family. It's even been suggested that the idea for the United Nations started there. Alex Jones snuck there very early in his career and photographed the cremation and care ceremony, which involved burning a human in front of an owl statue.
Huh? What?
Because of the secret nature of the whole thing, people tell wild stories about the place and nothing is verifiable. Some people think it's the epicenter of Satanism and others think it's where rich people go.
Again, I don't want to read the speculations. I just needed to know what it was. I don't want to read the speculations. I don't want to read the up and ups because I don't want to get no suit. I don't want to get sued. Allegedly. It's all alleged. Because again, I don't know. I've never been there.
But that's what Bohemian Grove is. So Garcia continued his erratic behavior, discussing disturbing incidences involving elites from Bohemian Grove and posting vague messages about the experience. He eventually stated he would focus solely on boxing-related topics and sports, and that was the video that I had showed you. And if you would, or I had let you hear, and if you had heard, he does sound very, like, scripted. And in the video, if you do see it, he is, if you look, he does look even, like,
it's not him. Like, he's been, like, someone's told him to say it. But again, allegedly.
Despite the drama, Garcia's fight with Haney is still scheduled for April 20th. However, his unpredictable online behavior has left fans concerned about his mental state and the future of his career. A lot of TikTokers have hopped up on the app. A lot of Redditors, a lot of people on the internet are just constantly running their mouth saying, you know, their little spectator pieces. I just saw another guy. I think it's GNB. I don't really know them too much. But one of their videos was suggesting or trying to allude the fact that maybe Drake had something to do with this because the owl with the Bohemian stuff and then Drake's OVO. OVO is for October's very own. Now here, I'm not out here defending Drake because again, I love you, boo. But I don't know you like that yet. But it's like, y'all, are we grasping at straws like this for real? Like, there's like real life issues that are going on. Like real life issues and this is what y'all want to focus on. Again, for Ryan, there's a lot of stuff that he also did post on Twitter. He did go on like a Nicki Minaj type Twitter break, Twitter rant, Twitter breakdown, Twitter spree. And he did let us know some things, some personal things about him. There's a trigger warning if you do decide to go look it up for yourself. But, you know, I pray for him. Seeing this, like witnessing a lot of this in real time, like a lot of these tweets,
Like, I wasn't getting, like, his tweets because I don't interact with his tweets. But seeing, like, other news sources that I follow live tweeting, like, what was going on. Seeing people I follow on Twitter quote tweeting his stuff. Like, I'm like, this man needs help in some way. And, hey, maybe it is just an act to get him trending in the media, to get people talking about his fight. Who knows? You know, I'm so sorry if it is, if this is fake. But a lot of the times people are desensitized to hearing people open up about issues that they're going through and mental health breaks because people capitalize off of it. People try to capitalize off of, you know, their stuff. Like, I don't know. It's just, I feel like everything's like a marketing gimmick nowadays. And I feel like a lot of us are awake to that. So we're on a high alert. But I do pray for Ryan. And it is genuinely upsetting what he had to go through. And I hope he's doing well. And I'm so grateful that he has his family there. And I hope they're supporting him. But I just wanted to give y'all a cute little, like, rundown if anybody was, I hope that was cute and little and short, but rundown if anybody was, like, as confused as I was because I randomly woke up and saw this trending and I was like, what is going on? My stomach is growling and my head is pounding and my throat is achy, y'all, so I'm gonna have to cut this one short. I appreciate you tuning in and I cannot wait to see you next week when I come with more energy and a more concise way of talking and telling stories. It's hard because and you can just keep hearing the police. Damn. I hope y'all catch him. I can't say her because it's Women's Day. But yeah, I hope I come with more energy, more power next week because I just think it's because I didn't eat breakfast. So I'm going to go grab something from Tim's. I hope you do too. For all my women, I hope a fine, fine man, if you're single, and I hope actually, if you're not single, I hope your fine, fine man buys you something today, treats you nice. You know, does your homework for you, lets him butt in front of you in line at a store. I hope you get showered with love, grace, and praise today, girl, because you deserve it. Happy International Women's Day to all my lovely women out there. We go through so much, but we also look so, so great doing it. So keep going, girl. I love you. Thank you so much for tuning into Trish Talk. My name is Patricia, and I am so excited to see you next week, Friday. Same time. Love you. Bye.